This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. It's CES time, the Consumer Electronics Show. It's always been one of the things that we always do at the beginning, well, every second week of January. We will always talk, or second or third week of January. We always talk about, you know, CES, because it is, you know, it used to be one of those large conventions where, you know, so many innovations are shown and displayed.
It used to be unmissable. Yeah. I mean, whether you were attending or not, if you were interested in tech, you would be glued to what was coming out of CES. You'd be checking all of the blogs, all of the feeds to see the latest innovations and the latest devices. And it would give you an idea of what tech and what gadgets you would be seeing over the next 12 months.
But over the last number of years, it sort of shifted from, it moved to a lot of like autonomous vehicles and a lot of cars in CES. And then it started having a lot of washing machines and fridges and TVs and a whole bunch of weird stuff. And every time CES ends up in the silly of 2017 or 2016 or 2015, in the silly year that we do the wrap up, something from CES always ends up in that list.
Yeah, it's one of these weird ones. I mean, I know part of it is because some of the bigger manufacturers, you know, the Googles and the Apples, and they try to have their, well, they don't try, they have their own events.
They got their own stuff. Yeah,
so they don't show things at CES anymore. But I think it's also the actual industry has changed in form. You know, we have Kickstarter and Indiegogo. We have all these crowdsourcing platforms. So the innovation is coming out in a lot of places, and we're not waiting for that January reveal that we used to do with CES.
It's more of a prototype that we normally would see in CES, and like, you know, it's going to launch third quarter of the year, and you go like, what? And it's like, generally it's most of it.
Yeah.
So what we plan to do is like, we'll try to pick out some really cool stuff, and then after the break we will obviously talk about the weird and silly of CES. But there were some really cool stuff. And the first one that I found is a gem. Bang & Olufsen is one of those brands that, again, I really like. One of those brands. They always seem to create products that of quality. It looks like art. It's, you know, it's cost of my kidney.
Well, only one.
Five of them. Like, don't ask me how I got the other three.
Yeah, Jeff has people have Bitcoin mining operations. Jeff has kidney mining operations.
So Bang & Olufsen, they have came up with a thing called the Bio Sound Shape. And it's a modular wireless speaker consisting of two-tone tiles that come in a wide range of colors, but they're all in a hexagon kind of shape. And the beauty of it is that every single one of these Bio Sound Shape can be, it's a modular thing, so you can actually build it and make it into your own piece of art that hangs on a wall, but it's actually a speaker behind it, because the speaker, the tiles consist of a speaker, an amplifier, a sound absorbing acoustic dampers, and a core that handles connectivity, so you can do AirPlay, Chromecast, Spotify, Connect, Bluetooth 4.1, all those kind of things. So imagine a piece of art on the wall that actually plays music.
Yeah, and it's something that you can make to your own design as well, right?
So design it how you want it.
Yeah, exactly. So it can fit into kind of any background, and it just looks cool. Whatever your room looks like, and it expands as well. I mean, you know, if you want a really big, powerful, meaty sound, you can put a whole bunch of these things together, or you can just work with one or two pieces.
Yeah.
And have a very basic and minimal sound.
It will be released in August. No pricing announced. Expect it to be around 5 kidneys worth of money anyways. The second one is Samsung. It goes back again to TVs. TVs were such a big thing this year. Everyone is doing a TV. Samsung announced last year
I have tumbleweed that goes through my head when somebody says TV. Yeah.
So last year, Samsung announced a new flat panel TV called The Frame. This year, they're taking it one step further, Matt.
It's frameless.
No, it's called The Wall.
Yes, because it's frameless.
Yeah, it's frameless. So it's The Wall is a modular TV that merges multiple borderless of micro LEDs into one giant screen. So it's 146 inches diagonally, and it can occupy the entire wall of the house. Now, the beauty of it is not that it's 8K. It's not that it's like, you know, one of the biggest TVs we've seen. The beauty of it is that when it has a problem with the LED, it has all the OLED stuff that you want without the OLED downsides. It's a fusion of LED and OLED. So whenever you have a pixel that is dead, you can actually just remove and replace that one pixel. So it saves you the cost instead of changing the entire TV. Because, you know, I've had an OLED TV for about a year now, and you can sort of see some, you know, issues surrounding OLED. OLED is not a perfect solution. Yes, it's great. It's the future. But, you know, it's still version one of OLED right now. We're probably seeing version two of OLED, which is a mixture of something. I just like the fact that we don't have to change the entire device. And, you can take one of it.
I think that's something that's come through in this CES. Mm. He said, not speaking about the TV. Because no, I like the fact that it's modular. And the same with the speaker. I like the fact that they're modular. So you can build your own system. So you have the flexibility to do that. There's also something that's being shown at CES, which is called the Rinspeed Snap, which is a car prototype, which again is modular. You have a car base, which I think is electric, and it's based on a skateboard kind of shape. And you can put all kinds of bodies on top. So that means you can, you know, when the software or the hardware runs out, which is the base of the car, you still have the body of the car, which you can just put onto a new base. So you can actually reduce the amount that you have to change. But you can also change the purpose of the vehicle. You can have something that's like a mobile office. You can have something that's like a mobile shop. But you can use the same trolley for lots of different things. So if you were a company, you could have a whole bunch of pods that sit on top of the frame
and love use that them idea.
For whatever you need. Yeah, so I think
modular.
I think, yeah, is modular is something good, I think, that's come out of this year's CES.
That's true. Security is also a big theme at this year's show. What I like is this company called Aura, A-U-R-A, and they are probably one of the smartest security solutions in CES. Now, a lot of these CCTVs that you put into your homes, they generally require like a Wi-Fi, like a camera, and then some connection involved.
Which, of course, is unsecure.
It is unsecure, right? And now, instead, Aura monitors the Wi-Fi radio waves that fills every home, and it reads the patterns of how it's bouncing around off walls and subjects and objects, right? So when these patterns are interrupted at the time when it's activated, it then knows that there is an intrusion or, you know, there is something going on. And well, I feel that that's actually really clever.
That's really cool, actually. The idea of having a radio field motion sensor is quite amazing, actually.
And actually, it's offering a starter kit for $199 US, and it covers about 700 square feet, and it just plugs into a power wall, and that's it. And it looks like a really small charger, like a small USB power bank that has, you know, two sockets that you can plug into a wall adapter. That's all. Don't need to set up. That's all it takes. And I thought, actually, that's really cool.
Yeah, because when you started the story with a home security system, I was ready to pop out and get a glass of water and, you know, come back when you finish. But no, that's actually very, very cool.
Very cool. Radio waves, you know, home security. And it's already available for purchase in the US. There is also the LG rollable TV, which is a new TV that can be rolled into like a swarm. I guess this is like the beginning of the foldable smartphone or the beginning of something
new. For a second, I thought you meant a TV that you could put on a trolley and push from one place to another, but you actually
roll the screen up. And like, I thought that was just really cool because like you're rolling it like a wallpaper, like a poster. So, you know, I thought that was really cool to finally be able to roll a TV display.
The idea of flexible displays, it's been one that's been floated for quite a few years now. And I think when Samsung came out with its curved displays 2 or 3 years ago, everyone was saying, you know, it's the next step towards these kind of flexible and foldable displays. That is definitely the way the technology is going. And it is something that I think will be quite useful. I know I joke about TVs, but that would actually change things because it's something that would be lightweight. It's something you can mount anywhere. It's something that can adapt to the shape of your
home. Just imagine in cars, right? Like, because of the curvature of your dashboards and stuff, you could just put screens on all of these dashboards areas. And so because it's, you know, you could mend it to however you
want. You know,
you've
got kids in the back, you just unfold a screen at the back and you take it with you. You don't have to leave a DVD player or a video screen in the back of the car for someone to come and steal. Nice.
One more. It's not really like a product or a thing. It's just that I find this really nice and sort of, you know, it's nice to see emotions in something like CES. And Huawei, their CEO, he went off script to sort of rage at the US carriers. And it was a lot of people are saying that it was probably the best speech of CES. And it's like a moment of sincere emotions coming out. Richard Hu, he's the CEO of Huawei Consumer Products Division. He spent like an hour just going through, you know, very awkwardly in his scripted presentation, where towards the end, the last slide was something I want to share. And he just went off script and he, you know, went on about, you know, how 8080's last minute decision to pull off the deal to sell Huawei phones in the US. This happened just moments before he had to go up on stage to talk about some of the products that they're launching. But because this was a hammering blow to Huawei's plans, you know, he went on in stage and just, you know, sort of mentioned about how its choices to the American consumers are so limited and dictated by carriers, these telco providers.
Yeah, because in the US...
90% of them.
Yes, because in the US you get essentially a subsidized handset with your program. So you have to actually sell in to the carriers to carry your phone. You're not... I mean, you can go and buy your own phone, but it means...
So much more expensive.
So much
Nobody's
more expensive.
Gonna do
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So it really is something that you have to do. I mean, the whole reason that Huawei was actually at CES this year was because it had this deal with AT&T and they were suddenly going to have access for all of their phone models to the US market.
Mm. So he said everyone knows that in the US market, over 90% of smartphones are sold by carrier channels. It's a big loss for us and also for carriers, but more big loss is for the consumers because consumers don't have the best choice. And I have to agree in the sense that granted that you know consumers are at really, you know, being dictated by all the telco providers, because if I'm a manufacturer, if I'm Huawei or Samsung or LG, I have to work through the telcos, you know, limitations that they have or the challenges that they have in, you know, not delivering the best quality or service, but I have to work with them to get sales. Whereas, you know, it shouldn't be that way. The phone and the telco operators, you know, they should give options to the consumers, not dictating them on, you know,
if you live
in this area, you can only buy this.
It's a difficult one because you know, you at the same time you can't expect the carriers to carry every single brand and manufacturer. So the it is kind of a hard one, but I do feel very bad for Huawei in this instance.
Yeah. There's a political battle here.
Yeah, of course.
On the larger scale, right? So anyways, when we come back is the things that you've been waiting for, the weird stuff of CES 2018. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters. BFM 89.9.
And we're back, and it's Geek Squawks, and earlier on we were doing the best of CES 2018. We will come to the weirdest stuff of CES 2018, but King of the Crowd, not down in the dumps,
King of the Crowd this week. Is this the first or the second one?
This will be
the
second of the year.
Second of the year, and two positive ones, I think.
Nice.
So, very nice. Now, this Kickstarter project is actually a Malaysian project. Which makes it nice. That's not the reason that we're mentioning it. Mm-hmm. We're mentioning it because it's actually very, very cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed that a lot of replicas for things like lightsabers. Now, I've seen one recently that was made out of pewter and cost thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And really, what can a pewter...
What can I do with it?
Yeah, what can I do with it? And it's the same with a lot of these replicas of the lightsabers. Or you can get, you know, a toy one that has all the noises and things. But, you know, when you're a grown-up and you're wandering around with a light-up lightsaber, not particularly cool. Mm. So the lighter saber looks very much like the lightsaber handle. And it has a very good use. If you're if you're a camper or you know, that kind of thing, it is actually a lighter. So you press the button, you get the flame. It's inside the nice lightsaber type handle.
Right, right.
But nicest of all is it actually does the sound effects. As you wave it around to and you're setting fire to your kindling, because you know you need to get your campfire going and get the stove going. And of course, at the same time, it's making the vroom, vroom, all the zoom noises.
It's not as big as a real lightsaber that you hold, right?
No, it's a small lighter
yeah, size, right?
Slight, but it has the look, it has the feel. Like I said, this is a Malaysian Kickstarter project. So far, they've raised, they're well on their way to their goal already.
Nice.
Shipping time is estimated to be June in 2018, of course. Shipping is due to start in June 2018. And if you want one of these, the prices start at around $65, which I think, you know, is quite reasonable given the tech. Like I said, it is completely designed and the idea came from Malaysia. And we don't often get to talk about these subjects on King of the Crowd. I should point out, I do know the guy behind this project, but that's not the reason that I've mentioned it today, because I've got plenty of friends who come up with stuff that's nonsense that I don't talk about. So I only talk about the things that I actually like.
But it's a nice idea. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, we'll kickstart. Let's go back to CES. The weird stuff of CES is always a plenty. We always, you know, talk about it at the year end. First one is the Somnox robot pillow. It's a pillow that you can cuddle. It's a robot that you can, you know, cuddle and be, you know, I don't know, feel warm and stuff. It looks like a small round circular pillow. It has an accelerometer, an audio sensor, a carbon dioxide sensor, which I don't know why. You hold it to your chest and you will actually feel like there is a pulse. There's someone breathing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I...
Which
I,
is meant to help you sleep and feel relaxed. Really creepy, though.
No, it's really creepy. Because I went to a robotics exhibition last year. And they had a similar device that was actually in the shape of a person, but they just did the torso. So it was a head, shoulders, a chest, nothing below the chest, and no arms. And it was the most unpleasant, freaky thing I've ever seen. And this is kind of an extension of that. You know, this if you're cuddling...
Yeah.
Get a cat.
Get a cat, yeah. Get
yeah,
a cat.
Please, just get a cat.
Get a cat. Let's go on to the beauty side of things. Last year was an epic year beauty products in CES. This year is no different. Introducing the Hi Mirror, which is combining with Alexa, which you will hear a lot. It's offering advice of how to, you know, take care of your skin, makeup tutorials, the ability to track skincare goals when using new products. I did not know such thing exists in someone's list of goals.
No, I mean, there's this whole thing that CES has become a tool of the 1%. You know, when we talk about things like Juicero last year, that's the kind of product that CES seems to be becoming a home for. So, I mean, I've got one as well, which is, what's it called? It's a machine that automatically folds laundry for you. So, okay, on the face of it, yes, I can understand why that might be quite useful. It's called the Foldimate, but the thing is, you have to actually prepare your laundry. You have to feed it in one piece at a time, but you have to feed it in a certain way so that it can be folded.
So
you might as well just fold it. You have to actually stand there and watch while it folds. So the only thing that – it doesn't save you any time.
No.
You still have to stand there. You just have the machine do it for you. And it costs $980. Why? Why do products like this exist? I mean, it really is evidence of this bubble. Another one, there's a headset that claims that it can melt fat by sending currents to your brain. So it's it's a thing you wear on your head. And it costs
called the Modius.
Yeah, the Modius Health. and it costs $500. But how can that work?
It's unproven.
It's unproven, but if you could just send things into your brain to melt fat, we could train our brains to melt fat.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, I'll up you on that. There's something that's worth $5,625 and above, and it's called the Kohler Numi, which is an interconnected toilet. Because now you can ask Alexa to flush. Because we all know how difficult it is to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
So, you know, why not spend $5,625 and above, if you obviously want different, you know, products or I guess a different voice, you can actually buy the Kohler Numi and ask Alexa to flush the toilet, to activate the bidet. You can also ask your toilet to lift the seat up or put the seat down and, you know, do the things that is generally really hard to do on, you know, a normal day-to-day basis.
I can understand why someone might have, like, hygiene reasons for some of these things. Mm. But we've overcome that already with infrared sensors. So you can have toilets that flush themselves when you walk away from them. So that's not really an issue that needs to be solved. This is another example of putting the technology into something simply because you can, not because you should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the weirdest thing of CES was actually probably goes down to the pole dancing robot at Sapphire Las Vegas. Robots R2DD and CCCPU were the names. They traveled to Las Vegas from London to perform an exotic and creepy robot exotic dance for the press and CES exhibitors. And yeah, apparently they were really strange, really creepy, and it was just really weird to see robots doing pole dancing.
Well, again, this seems to be the year of CES and malfunctioning robots. So SoftBank had some of its Pepper robots, which didn't seem to be performing particularly well. And LG put out its robotic smart home manager, a system called Chloe, which simply didn't work at all. It started off at the presentation. It was doing fine. But by the time it got halfway through, the US marketing chief, Deva Yandawal, who was doing the presentation, it simply stopped responding to any of his requests. And this is something that I think we're going to see a lot more of because we've talked about this before. We've talked about all of these companies looking at smart home products and developing their own systems. Why is LG suddenly in the business of software and artificial intelligence? Surely it's better for all of these companies to come together and start pooling their resources to develop stuff that works rather than duplicating and coming up with things that don't work.
It's monopoly, Matt.
I don't understand it because it's not going to work. We're going to have more and more options like this because one of the things that the US chief was trying to show was getting Chloe to give things from his calendar, saying what he was going to be doing that day. Do you really want something that controls your fridge to be managing your calendar? I don't think that's the business that LG's in. That's the business that Google's in. And I don't think they're going to be able to better that technology. Mm. They don't make their own phone operating software. Yeah. They use Google software. And I think everyone should be, like I said, pooling their resources to come up with the best systems to operate these things and forget about these ecosystems, these walled garden ecosystems.
Mm. The decentralized world, that's the dream, I guess. So,
and that's the thing. You show these off at a public forum like CES, and it backfires on you. So, you know,
does you more damage
than
good.
It does you a lot more damage than good. Yeah.
Anyways, also, it seems like all of this weird tech requires deep pockets, which leads us to our Geek Tunes.
Yes, we have the latest single. I think this is the first one from his second solo album. This is Gaz Coombs, who used to be the front man for Supergrass.
Yep.
And his latest single, Deep Pockets.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.